Time for a break from our show to pay the bills. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfundprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga Deep Discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfundprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. Thanks. Back to the show.
Thank you for listening to Comics for Fun and Profit. We've got a special episode for you today. I am here with not only my brother Drew, but I have tapped my son Carson to come in and help us here with this one. We are going to be talking about Blue Beetle. We went and saw the movie within the first few days of it coming out, and we are bringing you our thoughts, our feelings, our gripes, our enjoyments of what we thought of Blue Beetle, and see if you guys agree with us, want to argue with us on a few things, because coming out of the theater, there were a litany of different opinions on Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
So, Drew, what'd you think?
Well, Carson, did you know who Blue Beetle was before you went to the movies?
No, I had no clue what it was.
Did you know who OMAC was before you went to the movies?
No, I had no clue.
Okay. Kyle, how about you?
Of course I did.
You knew both OMAC and Blue Beetle.
I mean, no, not that OMAC, but there's an OMAC from Crisis that's actually the iteration of what they're doing with OMAC there, but yeah. Okay. And then, of course, Young Justice, I know Jaime Reyes from that. I've read a few of the comics and things like that. My biggest fun is you get a lot of really cool Jaime Reyes stuff in Injustice, the video game.
Oh, okay.
So, and actually a lot of his fighting style is based on his fighting style in Injustice.
So I had zero OMAC experience, and I had zero Jaime Reyes experience. Mm-hmm. I knew Blue Beetle from Justice League International comics back in the 90s. And
now, did you know Ted Kord from the Booster Gold stuff from before? Okay,
yes.
There we go.
Yes. So... That was my Blue Beetle, so I didn't know this new kid. And so I don't know if this was even like the right origin or not, or if it's just a movie origin. So
this is the third Blue Beetle. Jaime Reyes is the third Beetle.
Okay.
This was probably geared more towards Carson here, which is why we brought him here. Because watching the show, I felt like it was geared kind of toward kids a little bit.
Yeah.
A few curse words, a few fun things, but overall, I thought it was kind of shot in his direction. That's why I tapped him to talk about what he thought in it. I actually really liked it. I had a great time with it. There was a lot of really cool Easter eggs for me in it. At one point, Blue Beetle pulls out a Buster Sword a la Final Fantasy VII. At one point, he turns his fist into Mega Man Busters. Those are all things that I was super excited about. I remember thinking to myself, because, during the whole thing, he always does the height of screaming, the whole, like the anger. And I'm like, dude, this is a little too Dragon Ball. Turns out that is an homage to Dragon Ball. So, there was a lot of really cool stuff in there for that. And, just like I've been excited for the Young Avengers stuff in Marvel, the thought of Young Justice, that's the other thing that kept me kind of tapped into this.
Well, I didn't hate it.
Your daughter hated it.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't return my calls when I asked if she wanted to hop on the Skype tonight. So,
as usual.
And so I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I'm somewhere in the middle. But Kyle, I hear what you said. Carson, what did you think about it?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. It was definitely interesting because I've never really seen a bunch of DC stuff.
Yeah, to be fair, he is my 12-year-old who I've not gone through all the Marvel with yet.
The only thing I've seen is
We've done Spider-Man's and stuff.
We started Iron Man 1, and we're like 10 minutes through that.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Well, but you're caught up on Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good, man. Well, this movie started out in the remote frozen tundra of Antarctica with members of Cord Industries, led by the evil CEO, Victoria Cord. And they are...
Who I immediately had... Bull Durham flashbacks. I had to say, no, that is going to not do well here.
No, and she got old. Susan Sarandon got real old. And they're looking for an alien artifact in this giant, I guess, round rock. Is that the deal?
That is made from the DC material that is almost tangential to vibranium.
Oh.
That is their... It's like an adamantium type of thing. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. It's what, like, Deathstroke's swords are made out of and everything.
Oh.
So.
That's what that rock is.
Yep.
It's not nth metal, is it?
No, it's out of whatever.
Okay. Something else. All right. So they're in the middle of there chewing through that, trying to get this scarab. I guess they got it. Because we never really saw them get it, but we assume they did. And then that's all we saw of that. And then we shoot over to meet Jaime Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
He graduates from Gotham Law, which Kyle, I didn't even catch the shirt. You had to point it out to me that he was wearing a Gotham Law.
Yeah, so he spent the last 4 years in Gotham City at college.
Yeah.
I caught it. I saw
you that. Got it.
I didn't catch that at all. It was too many bright lights in Palmera City.
Yes.
And
Palmera City is kind of new.
Is this like Miami? Yeah.
Back in the day, it was like legitimately El Paso is where they were from.
Okay.
But yeah, Palmera City has always been a place. But they were able to make this just a little bit more gentrified by making it Palmera City.
Then we meet Jaime's sister, Milagro, who I hated. From the very beginning, she had attitude and was mean. I didn't get it. I didn't get her.
And it is, Promethium is the metal we were talking about. Promethium.
Okay. So
sounds like an element.
The family's in dire financial straits. Dad had a heart attack, lost his job. Grandma doesn't have a job. I don't think mom.
They've
had a
tripled
job.
The rent.
Yeah, we got an uncle who's George Lopez, who's got a really nice truck, but, you know, didn't sell the truck to help with the rent, so I don't know what his deal was, but I guess he lives there, too, in their house. Wasn't really clear, but they're all familia, right?
Yep.
So the sister gets Jaime a job working cleaning houses, and he just happens to be cleaning the CEO's house for Gord Industries. And they cross paths that way, along with niece Jenny Cord, the super hot Jenny Cord, played by what was her name? Adriana Barraza, is that her?
Yeah, that sounded about right.
Yeah, or Zolo.
I watched a podcast with her and Zolo in it.
Oh, with her and Zolo Maribuena.
Yeah,
maybe it's Zolo. Is it Zolo? No, Zolo's the guy, right?
Yeah, he's there.
Who? Her name is Bruno.
It's really long.
Marquezine. Like yeah, Bruno Marquezine, yeah. So she was really great. But they get fired. But that's how they meet Jenny. And what do we think of Jenny? She's like the good Cord, right?
Yeah, yes. She's the daughter of Ted Cord, who was apparently the good guy that tried to keep them from making weapons and all the different stuff. So she's the one that's at least got some, ethics, values, and morality to her.
Yeah. And Jaime jumps to her aid, Jenny's aid, because she's getting attacked by the henchman, we don't know at the time who he is, but Victoria's henchman there is kind of getting in her face, and Jaime steps in and gets fired for it. Jenny feels bad, says come to the tower, Cord Tower, the next day to discuss a job opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Who, real talk, the henchman has the probably the best backstory of anybody involved in this show.
We get an extensive look at his life,
yeah,
and how he got to there, but not quite yet. We don't know that quite yet.
One additional bonus, I'm down here with Carson and my other two children have came down, so if you want to say hi, do it now, Josephine.
Hi.
And Lincoln, you saying hi?
Hi.
All right, now they're going to bed. Love you.
No, bye. We're not.
So here at Comics for Fun and Profit, it's an entire family affair.
What do they think about Blue Beetle? But they don't know.
They did not know anything about Blue Beetle.
They know nothing about Blue
Beetle. To the movies yet.
Yes. So the next day, Jenny's upset about the direction of her dad's company, or granddad's company.
Her father's. Because it was originally her grandfather. When her grandfather passed away, instead of giving it to Susan Sarandon,
he gave it
directly to Ted Kord.
Gotcha. Okay. And so she steals the scarab, not knowing what it is. Well, she kind of knew what it is.
She knows exactly what it is, because her father was obsessed with it throughout his entire life.
Yeah. And she puts it in a burger box.
Big Belly Burger. Big Belly Burger is a constant staple of DC Comics, as the essentially the movies of DC Comics. So it was really cool to see that.
Is it really in all the movies?
It's in a bunch of the comic book stuff, and whenever they reference a restaurant and stuff, they use Big Belly Burger a lot.
Big Belly Burger's kind of got
an almost Frisch's Big Boy dude chilling on it stuff.
Mm. So it turns out the big job...
Now Carson's hungry for Frisch's
Big Belly Burgers.
Yes.
So they pass off the scarab to Jaime... Because she doesn't want to get caught, and she sends him out with it. Carson, if a pretty girl gives you a box and says don't open it, what are you going to do?
Open it.
that's what he did. He opened it. You know, you're supposed to not open it. And none of this would have happened if he hadn't opened it. Mm-hmm. But he chooses to open it. The scarab, I guess, chooses him to be...
It chooses to bond with Jaime Reyes, which it did not bond with Ted Kord, Booster Gold, any of the people throughout those generations. It did not choose to do that.
Yeah. And so at that point, we're attacked the Ignacio Carapax. That's the bodyguard who plays
OMAC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just Carapax is what.
And so he has the OMAC prototype. We're introduced to OMAC in a commercial earlier that shows hundreds and thousands of OMAC packs ready to go.
Pretty sure that was old and it got shut down, and then they were trying to revamp it. I'm pretty sure that's what she said.
Yeah, that was the pre-military stuff that Ted Kord tried to stop, but she was revamping.
Oh, okay. So, but they were there, right?
Correct.
So,
correct. 100%.
But we didn't. I guess we didn't. We hadn't seen the island yet, where they were still there.
Yeah.
Okay. So they escape.
The big thing is like the. So he bonds with the scarab. The scarab, you know, clings onto his back, becomes one with him, and then just kind of takes over and bolts. Because its AI is kind of overtaking. So they eventually, the longer he's bonded with the beetle, the more that they get a symbiotic relationship and kind of become one. But at the moment, the suit takes over and goes through flight diagnostics and all kind of thing. And Jaime is just kind of there for the ride. Yes. So we get the whole kind of, I'm in float around kind of stuff there.
Yeah, learning how to use it. And this is... During that battle, that initial battle, they quickly bested OMAC.
Mm-hmm. And his, you know, version 1.0 of the OMAC suit.
Yeah, so he quickly bested him, and the Blue Beetle host, what is that called again? Kaija Da?
Yeah, that's the name. Yeah, Kajada or something like that.
Something like that. That
and something neat there is during that battle, Jaime is constantly talking with the suit, I don't want to kill him. We're not killing people.
Yeah.
We're not killing people. Stop.
Yeah.
No swords, no guns, no this, no that.
Yeah.
Now, that's cool, but I have issues with that later in the movie.
Yes. So, at first, Kajada wants to kill, and that would stop
the person. Neutralize the threat. Just
neutralize the threat.
Be done.
Yeah. Jaime says, no, going to come back to bite him for doing that.
100%.
Kind of, I guess, but maybe not. the reason they went back there, they had to steal a watch, right?
Yep, the Apple Watch 1.0.
Yeah, so they got the watch, and they go to, the old island fortress?
They go to Ted Kord's home, which is kind of a half zoo, half home, which is where What's-Her-Face, Jenny, grew up. But she just knows that her father's lab and everything's there, and since he spent his entire life analyzing the scarab, it would be full of answers to the scarab and how to remove the scarab or XYZ.
Yeah, and that's where we get a look inside the old school Blue Beetle laboratory, and I bet you there were tons of Easter eggs in there that I didn't catch.
Yeah,
it was funny. They were just kind of like dissing the original Blue Beetle. As they were describing him as.
Yeah, George Lopez is in this, has some great lines, and one of his best ones is, Blue Beetle, he's like Batman and Superman, but just not as good.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of neat. We got to see some of the gadget, but not all the gadgets yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, the bad guys did go back. They're going to...
They're looking for Jaime Reyes because they realize it's him. So they're going to go to his home to capture him. And when they find out he's not there, they decide they're just going to... we'll just kill the family till he shows up.
Yes.
So.
And Jaime gets there, but he can't quite save his dad.
Dad has a heart attack. Right?
Yeah.
Dad has a heart attack because of the fact that one of the soldiers... gunned him in the mouth, or like hit his gun in his mouth.
Yeah,
and he had a heart attack.
Caused it. Yes, that's true. And then so family's in mourning. They take Jaime away at that point.
They take him away because they need to extract the rest of the information from the scarab to finalize the protocol for the final OMAC.
Right. So they've got Blue Beetle imprisoned. So all that's left is what's left of the Reyes family, minus dead dad.
Plus Jenny.
Minus the house.
The house has been destroyed. That's true. So they got to figure that stuff out. So what they do is they go back to the Blue Beetle hideout, and they get gadgets and a big bug to fly around in.
Yeah, the Beetle Mobile, essentially.
Yeah.
The Beetle ship.
Beetle mobile,
exactly.
Then we discover,
and this is where we talk about the weapons. Like another one of the coolest Easter eggs is one of the weapons is made out of an old power glove. Nintendo NES power glove.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
First time I'd seen it since the movie The Wizard. But yeah, that one weapon was off of the. It was literally built on the 1980s power glove. Which was very cool. And then, the Reyes family decides they're going to go rescue Jaime from the island captive, which Jenny knows where it's at because it's her family's island.
Right. And then this is where, they get to use some of the gadgets. It's fun at first, and then they just start wasting fools.
Grandma has some old Mexican Revolutionary background, so she's fine with a Gatling gun. But it's just very weird from going from Jaime going, we cannot kill people, we have to be better than this, to watching the grandmother literally murder 30 people.
Yeah, she had no qualms at all.
None, yeah. So I thought that was a little weird. But
I think the bug... was shooting people too, and I'm not sure what the part
stomping on people.
Yeah, at one point it impales a dude with its claws.
And what wasn't there like a fart gas? What did the fart gas do?
That was the smoke screen to allow them to get down into the tunnel and get in without being noticed.
Oh, yeah, I thought I think it just like
blinded them.
Oh, okay. I thought it knocked them down or knocked them out or something.
Maybe.
Okay.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, I didn't really specify that.
Yeah. So they infiltrate the secret evil laboratory to rescue Blue Beetle, and this is where we have a recurring character played for a little bit of comic relief. His name, everybody calls him Sanchez. Well, the evil Victoria calls him Sanchez.
That's very racistly because she just picks a Mexican name and names him, and that's not actually who he is.
It's not his name. And probably could have, I mean, it probably could have been a better character, but I bet you there's some cutting room stuff with Sanchez that we didn't get to see.
A little more struggle with the good versus evil one.
Yeah, something
like that. He's the attendant that kept hooking people up, and eventually at the very end kind of flip-flops back to good and lets him out. And, you know,
so he got mad when,
The original owner of the Big Belly Burger.
Yeah. And also was working in the lab on the scarab before it got stolen.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he was a bad guy, but he was like a hired henchman bad guy, not really evil. And then he turns to try to save Blue Beetle at the end. Not sure that he really earned it, but we'll take it. I think that's fine.
As you can tell from Carson's reaction, completely forgot that character existed.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. It was forgettable, and I did not care that he sacrificed himself because he was evil for 99.9% of the time, and then at the last second, hey, stop calling me Sanchez.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let this guy go. It could have been something a little better.
I'm going to work on killing this guy. You said my name wrong. Let him go.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. And so then that buys him some time. There was some fun fight scenes. You know,
was the coolest thing. Like everybody said, you know, we've got an origin story. So literally the first 45 minutes of the movie are slow setting up the world. But as you and I and Carson have spoken, nobody knows Jaime Reyes. Nobody knows this city. Nobody knows Beetle. Nobody necessarily remembers Ted Kord. So there's a lot of work to do that and to pay off essentially the last 20 minutes, which is fun-filled action and fight scene.
Yeah,
I got a little bit of Transformers effect when they were fighting, which is just like, I don't know what's happening. It's just metal in a blender. But... I got some more really good. Like I said, I got my Buster Sword, which was cool. Did not see coming. Was super happy in the theater to see that. I got my Mega Man Buster, which was awesome. I thought that was great. I loved those fight scenes.
So it wasn't a Final Fantasy sword. It was a Mega Man sword.
So the sword was Final Fantasy VII. It was built off the Buster Sword. It was almost a recreation of Cloud Sword. Okay. And then when he had the guns on his hand, they were like the big Mega Man Buster on his hand. And it looked just like Mega Man 2.
Oh, I did not catch that at all.
Yep, exactly. I actually have a Buster Sword or a Mega Man Buster over there. So,
okay.
Very neat.
You can shoot it. There's a trigger inside.
Yeah, it makes all pew, pew, pew. The cool noises and everything. So those were very cool and fun payoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't. Like, there was like an offhand mention between the spirit of the Scarab and Blue Beetle. It's like, if you can think about it, whatever you think of, I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's really cool. But
so he's pulling from. So he's probably pulling from playing Final Fantasy, pulling from playing Mega Man, pulling from watching.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball.
So we got a few of those, but I thought those could have been like what allowed him to win the fight.
Yeah,
you know, using his imagination, and that really wasn't what it was. It was, you know, he was getting his butt kicked because they had downloaded the code from the Scarab, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or from his suit. Well, it was I'm not sure how they got the code.
While he was hooked up in there on the island, they downloaded all the protocols from the old, from the Scarab to the new suits and everything to the Omek to make it essentially 2.0 and you know, make it next level.
Yeah. Not really clear how that magic worked, but it seemed to be what they needed to move to make Omek tougher. And then
they had, it was the other thing that was weird is they built in like a 15-minute oh no, my suit needs to reboot, so that all of the family members could have their kind of moment in the sun during the last fight stuff.
That was very extended time for that suit to reset. That's true.
It also seems like that was pretty out of order. Like, why did the suit need to reset? There was nothing that continued to make the suit have to reset.
He almost died. So then when he just... Oh, yeah, we forgot the part you hated about him, like, kind of blacking out and meeting his dad in the afterworld and
going I forgot about that. That was so terrible. So, yeah, they did a full Black Panther scene with, like, he died and he's in the spirit world and he's hanging out with dad. And then he gets brought back. Just
so, did you see the newest Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah,
it's just like Rocket's scene with his dad as well.
Yeah, same thing with. Oh, that's exactly right. It's the same scene too.
Exactly.
It's probably closer to that. You're right. Mm-hmm. And that was dumb. I hated it. I don't know why it was in there, but it was. Anyway, so
to be fair, we have trouble with father scenes too. So,
so he was there. He almost died, and it turned out, you know, Rudy was in peril. Uncle Rudy got in peril, and that's what brought him able to overcome the fight and get the upper hand on Omek. But he didn't kill Omek again. This time, it was because Blue Beetle Scarab spirit had discovered humanness and didn't want to kill him either.
No. So we unlocked the memories of what happened to him.
Yeah.
The Scarab
found those. We get a long flashback of Omak's life.
Mixed with legitimate news headlines of the Guatemalan rebellion.
Okay. All right. So I missed that part.
Yeah, it was made of actual news headlines from that actual time period. And that character's upbringing.
Yes. And so that allowed them to bond together as friends.
Because he saw that What's-Her-Face had, you know, essentially bombed his village, murdered his mother, stole him as a child, and raised him as a soldier against his will his entire childhood.
Yes. So she was the real enemy. So he decides to take her out, but he wants to take himself out too, so he self-destructs and blows up him and the island and all the extra Omaks. And then the Blue Beetle and family run away back home to where the neighbors are all around their bombed-out house, bringing them potluck food.
Yeah, they have Dad's funeral, and then the neighborhood bonds together.
Yes. And a kiss between Jenny Cord and Jaime.
Yep, finally gets the kiss.
That's the end. And then we get to a mid credit scene that seems to say that Ted Cord is still alive.
Correct, because she'd said her father was just gone and dead.
Yeah, so he's still alive. So there's something for the sequel.
Thought. Yeah, it's what she thought.
That's what she thought, because he technically never said, "Well, I'm." Bye-bye.
He went out to buy milk and cigarettes and never came back.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that. Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay. So we just don't know. He just disappeared.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So that was the mid-credit scene. Then there was a final credit scene that was not worth waiting for.
Yeah, don't wait for that. It's just another rehash of the cartoon that George Lopez's character used.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that, for that. That's basically the movie. One of the things, my takeaway was, if you are Latino, I think you'll enjoy this movie more than I did. Because there was a lot of Latino history, too, and pop culture references that I did not get.
Yeah, and like you see a lot of things, like, as their home's being raided, it looks just like almost an ICE raiding of immigrant families and stuff like that, where you cut to the neighbors and everything.
And then there was, like, movies and TV shows that are from the Latino culture. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know what that cartoon was. I didn't know what that TV show they were referencing. I didn't know any of that stuff. So that those kind of fell on deaf ears to me. And I think just, like, there was, like, a choice made to use some subtitles when they were completely speaking Spanish, but...
Yeah, there were sometimes when the family was just chit-chatting with each other, we have no clue what they were talking about.
Yeah, when they were in the when they were speaking Spanglish, which was... I had trouble with some of the language because they turned the subtitles off. So there was some whole parts of, conversations... I didn't really catch all of what was going on. That was like kind of like the big early bummer for me, where I was like, what's going on with this movie? I don't even know if it's for me at all. But it got better as it went along. Do you have any cons that you didn't address already?
Again, a little slow, a little long, but an origin story. I understand there's things you got to do to get an origin out. I understand people don't know Jaime Reyes. So, yes, it was long. Yes. You could come in 45 minutes late to this thing and still enjoy it.
Carson, anything you didn't like about it?
It was kind of slow, to be honest.
Yeah.
Some parts I would like to not have seen. Like we were talking about the whole suit rebooting, that was just a thrown in part that we didn't need to know or see about.
Yeah, that's true. That whole section could have probably just been cut. So I'd be curious when they do get a, because this was a 2 hour plus movie.
Yeah, I expected 90 minutes an hour, and there was 2 hours.
Yeah, it was two hours plus.
Like, you could legit cut that half hour out and be fine.
Yeah, and I think it would have been a little better. Mm-hmm.
But this was originally not supposed to be a theatrical release. This was supposed to be chopped up and thrown on, DC app or Paramount app or whatever it is.
Well, that would have been awful. I can't even imagine this as a serialized, broken up into pieces. I can't even imagine it. Yeah. Okay. So what'd you like about it? Carson, I'll start with you. What'd you like about it?
I liked how, like Dad was saying, how, like, entitled to other, like, games and shows it was. It had a bunch of Easter eggs and references. It definitely pulled into more of, like, a, like, kind of side characters, more of the side characters.
You liked the fight scene stuff?
There's also a lot of stuff in it that, like... there's no backstory, so it's just kind of thrown in there, like Jenny's like bubblegum technique that her dad made for her was she kind of just like, if you weren't paying attention in the moment on the helicopter when she ate it, you wouldn't understand at all what she was doing. Or
I forgot about that. That's true. They were just like, don't touch that, my dad made it for me, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. And then later you barely see her rip it out, shove it in her mouth, and then it's all like a super protective bubble, I guess.
It just got a giant expanding foam type
thing. Ball of grapes, and just expands.
Yeah, so it was, but it was cool. So you liked the action, you liked the character, you had fun with it. At a scale of 1 to 10, what'd you give it?
I'd say 7.5 would be my highest.
What are your kids dying?
My wife.
I definitely wouldn't have understood or had any interest in the character if it wasn't for me watching Cobra Kai.
You like Sheldon Mayer.
That was your gateway. That's cool.
Yeah, but if I wouldn't have watched Cobra Kai, I would have been like, who the heck is this? Why is he playing? Why is he here? What's going on?
That's cool. That's cool. I would have never even guessed that would have been like your connection to this. So that's neat. I'm probably like around a 6.5. I'm pretty close to you, really. Mm-hmm. 6.5, 7. So I was definitely above average. I liked it, but yeah, I had some problems with it and didn't love it. Did not love it.
Yeah, I'm around a 7.5 and 8. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. A little bit long, of course. Goes through all the tropes of having to be an origin story. You know, a little more difficult. But I liked it. I liked it for kind of setting up the Young Justice world and what it's going to be. You can do a lot of cool things through this. So, all in all, it was definitely worth going. So,
does it deserve a sequel? Do you want to see a sequel with the old guy coming back?
Yeah, he's going to be in, like, we get a Booster Gold TV show. So, he's probably going to be in that. Or the old guy is going to be in that. And then you can introduce Jaime into other Young Justice stuff. But I don't know that Blue Beetle needs its own standalone. But I wouldn't be
against it. Doesn't need another movie? You'd rather see him in TV from now on?
Yeah, or if he does another movie, it's about him forming with the other Young Justice people.
Oh, you think we have enough DC to do a Young Justice? Who are they? Who do we have?
I mean, there's a bunch of different options, but there's, you know, I mean, Nightwing can be in it. You can have, you know, Aqualad.
Well, these are characters we haven't seen yet.
Correct, exactly.
Oh, okay. So he's the first official member of Young Justice.
In my mind, yes. So.
Okay. That's a we're a long way off then.
Exactly. Absolutely.
If we do the Marvel method.
But as charismatic as Sholo is in that character, you can throw him in all kinds of stuff and have lots of fun with it because he's a very versatile character to toss in other properties.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Carson, for sitting in with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, hey, hopefully we can do more reviews and stuff like this next time, too. See ya.
RLCS is Cowabunga Comics. Lake Country, Wisconsin's best pop culture destination for new comics, back issues, gaming, retro video games, vinyl, and figures. Give them a call, 262-569-9999. Check them out online at cowabungacomics.com or follow them on Twitter at Incredical. They are our LCS, and we utilize their deep discount mail order service to bring Oconomowoc, Wisconsin closer to us. They'll take care of you. Tell them Drew and Kyle sent you. Say hi to Eric and James from us. If you need an LCS, you can't go wrong with Cowabunga Comics.